now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Laura Matsu. Laura Matsu is a certified holistic life coach and meditation teacher and registered yoga teacher. As a coach, she specializes in the embodiment process as a way of healing trauma. She uses a unique combination of psychological inner work, somatic meditations, her intuitive gifts, and various esoteric practices to assist people in achieving the inner changes they want to make, bring their gifts to the world. So without any further ado, Laura Matsu, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, good to finally meet you. I love the podcast with you and Bernhard, and have a lot to say about some of the things you said in that one.
I definitely want to hear it. And please give my regards to Bernhard. And I must say right off the bat that I'm just delighted that you two had gotten together. And maybe it's not the time on this show, but perhaps in some other show, you can talk about that process, because one of the most important things I've read in the recent past is your writings about how people need to, that have been alone for a long time, that have been suffering from all these different challenges of an esoteric hyperdimensional nature, the steps they need to take in order to prepare themselves for when they do meet that right conscious person. And You wrote about that, you've spoken about that. And I only bring it up because there's so many people like us in this field, Laura, that are going through extended periods of isolation, and they think that there's no hope, it'll never end, they'll be alone forever.
Yeah, it's so true. And it is hard to find those people as well. And I think a lot of times people don't want to take responsibility for when they end up in relationships where, you know, they're basically wound bonds, what I call them. And so that's just a reflection that you have deeper work to do. But then there also comes a point where you have to step out of your comfort zone and start looking for your tribe as well, because that's an aspect of healing trauma, is finding your community and linking together with people, because energetically we become so much more powerful when we are bound together with people. Like, that's our support system as well. So we're not alone in many respects, but a lot of the times we need to kind of build the container around ourselves to do the inner work. And then the next step to healing trauma is going back out into the world, connected to our true self, and finding those who are also on the path with us.
And, you know, as time goes on, perhaps you can talk about that a bit later in this interview. To give our listeners who may not be familiar with your work and yourself, Laura, tell us a bit about yourself and, you know, the journey that led you up to this point.
Oh, man, in this lifetime? Or
yeah. Well, you know what? Just mix in the other lifetimes, too, because as you and Bernhard talk about it, it all factors in, you know.
Okay, so, well, I'll start with this lifetime. So, I grew up in a very, like, different spiritual household, meaning my parents, they practiced yoga under a guru. He actually ended up being the predator, but at the point in time, they were receiving teachings from them. And he even named my brother, like, classic, like, Hindu names as well. So they were very involved in that. I was around, basically, these esoteric spiritual concepts at a pretty young age. You know, esoteric in the sense they were very different to conventional Canadians who are like Catholic or Christian or some form of Christianity, basically. So that was the beginning of my journey. But at the same time, I grew up in a very traumatic childhood, like abuse of all sorts across the board. Severe mental illness, or what we call mental illness, which I feel we can get into later, I feel is just, a classification for something that's happening on a spiritual and occult level, related to trauma as well. That was my, like, family of origin. It was, like, definitely extremely difficult, even though at the time I normalized it. There's also blessings in it, within it as well, but it was challenging. And then similar to, I'm sure, many people on the path, around age 14 or something, I became, like, extremely depressed. And they wanted to put me immediately basically on antidepressants, like SSRIs. So that gave me, that basically started my whole track in the psychiatric institutional world, you know, being brought to therapists and psychiatrists and being put on different drugs. But at that time, I actually didn't take the drugs that they gave me because to me, they weren't like fun. Like I was only willing to take drugs if they would like really be fun, like the ones that they don't just prescribe to everyone. Then began like a long spiral of trauma, of sexual abuse, mostly because I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know boundaries. I put myself in dangerous situations by not listening to my instincts, and more drug abuse eventually, and more trauma. So that was basically my entire 20s, like is sexual abuse, trauma, drug abuse, running all over the world, getting involved in really shady circles. Many of these like experiences I had are actually people who are in great positions of power too. So I saw these hidden underpinnings energetically of these circles of power, people in the entertainment industry are, and they were basically feeding off my life force and energy, and they were the predator and I was the prey. So like they could zone in on me, you know, even energetically, and find like there was something that they could get in me because they knew that all my defenses were down, that I didn't know myself, I didn't have any boundaries. So that happened for until, I guess, my mid-20s. At that point, I actually ran away to where you are in Australia. I'm like, I'm going to go to university. I'm going to go to school. And then I experienced another experience of sexual abuse when I was in Australia. And I realized I couldn't run away from my problems. So more drug addiction around then. Basically, I went back to Canada. And then eventually I ended up in a very abusive relationship with, he wasn't a sociopath, but definitely a narcissist through my own wounds. And it got so bad and it got so abusive and so tragic at that moment. I finally, like I was an atheist basically in my mind. I went down and to my knees and I prayed and I was like, honestly, if there's a God out there, if you can get me out of this situation, I'll give my life to you, like basically in service to you. And yeah, then at that moment, someone I hadn't heard from in years offered me a place to stay. And, I began the first steps of my long healing journey. And that was at the end of 2012. So, since then I've basically been doing yoga almost every single day. I've kind of calmed down now because I need to work more on strength training. I'm flexible enough. I started getting deep into meditation as well, and somatic therapies now recently, so more body-based therapies as a way of resolving trauma. And then in my meditations, I basically ended up encountering like dark forces and demonic energies. It was within my first year of meditation, I really realized that during some of these instances of sexual abuse, specifically with the ones, a couple with men in really high positions of power, it was basically a ritual. Like it wasn't, you didn't have the pentagram and all the candles and stuff, although there was a giant demon over his bed, which is just symbolic. But it was a ritual, you know, and I was realizing in my meditations that at that point, something activated me, a deeper trauma and wound. And then there was something basically energetically, a demonic force that was working through me as well. So I was so disembodied and so out of body for my 20s that something else was entering and acting through me and perpetuating the trauma of like my human vessel, basically. So yeah. And then eventually I ended up coming across with Bernhard, you know, and I even said to him, when we first met, there's something going on spiritually, weirdly, really weird spiritually in my family, because I mean, I've had spiritual experience when I was younger. This is all these spiritual experiences started, I'm remembering in my spiritual journey after. So I started remembering, you know, like abduction dreams happened recurrently when I was a kid. Also, I remember very beings telling me in my sleep to do things when I woke up. And I remember seeing ghosts and beings, never mind, you know, the whole other wormhole that I could go down where my brother's been diagnosed with schizophrenia, but he's really in contact with gray aliens. Like, you know, he thinks that they're the good guys, but they torture him basically. So So one of the first things I said to Bernhard was, I think there's something really going on spiritually with my family. And that's basically been the process of discovery that I'm on to this day. And in that journey, I've encountered that everything I experienced in this lifetime was basically, you know, it was a cause and effect, meaning people in positions of power abused me in this lifetime because of my own abuse of power in other lifetimes. And I've really gone down the rabbit hole with that until recently discovering, meaning the past couple years, that it's really linked to these ancient Egypt priestess rituals. So this is a past life contract going back thousands of years. And I'm not the only woman as well. The woman that I'm currently doing this course with, Birthing the New Feminine, named Kelsey, she reflected back to me having the same memories come up. And she also had the same kind of soul pattern in this lifetime with sexual abuse and trauma. So it's really this big kind of like rabbit hole we've opened, and lots of other women are coming forward because this whole like priestess thing is very popular in like the New Age community. And what I see happening is the same like siphoning of energy, you know, and not really realizing how these traps of agreement work with these women kind of playing around with magic and fire. So yeah, that's kind of the work that we're doing now. And it's pretty hard to find research around this as well currently. So we're just kind of finding our way through it. But it's been also very healing as well, because some of the topics we address is like this, what we call like the toxic feminine, which is like this very wounded, traumatized feminine who's really on a revenge streak right now in the world we see to this day. Like you see it, and I think you said it in this podcast with Bernhard, a lot of these women, especially they call themselves feminists, they have that same energy that was acting through me, and I recognize it because I had it in me, and I still have to watch my back when I get into my wounded state that can come through. So yeah, that kind of brings us forward to this current day. I know I said a lot there, but yeah, that's kind of the work that we're doing. And I never planned on this, but it's just where my spiritual journey has basically led to. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Since you mentioned the past life issues and traumas that played a key role, a pivotal role in how your life unfolded in this incarnation, could you talk about that? Because it's important for people to understand that these traumas, these wounds, these traps of agreements, they were set in play over many lifetimes. It wasn't just something that just manifested in this one. And also, if you can point out the high priestess syndrome, because there's already been a lot of exposure about these male gurus and how they've created these cults for themselves where they're systematically sexually abusing all the females of all ages in their cults. There hasn't been enough discussion about the high priestess goddess diva syndrome that you're talking about. And I really feel that you and Kelsey are doing pioneering, trailblazing work, and I applaud you for that. So please, if you know, whatever you're comfortable with sharing about how the past life traps play into all this, and in your particular case, the Egyptian aspect to it, I would really like to hear it.
Yeah, thank you, by the way. So I can kind of explain it in regards to how it links towards this lifetime and how I found out. And even though I found out through a psychic, it deeply resonated. I was like, she hit the nail on the head. It's someone who Bernhard works with as well. She's a really gifted healer. So, you know, this is something, it's kind of hard for me to talk about because I just recently, this band released a new album and I'm getting re-traumatized. I even think it might be like an interference. So basically, one of the most traumatic experiences I had in this lifetime, I'm telling this because I'll link it back to the past lifetime, it was a very famous and popular musician. And basically, my friend, I was friends with a psychopath at the time, like a pure psychopath who preys on people who are weak and controls them. And through my own wounding and her making me feel special, I became basically best friends with her. But she was set out to destroy me, essentially, in her mind, by keeping me close. And so anyway, she offered me a job. I moved down to live with her in LA. And yeah, she really wanted to get into this festival, this really big festival in LA. And Basically, I made an agreement with her and a bunch of other girls there that one of us had to take one for the team, were the words. So one of us had to engage sexually with a super famous guy in order to get into the festival. And it ended, and we went over to his house. We brought a bunch of like really beautiful ladies. But since I was like the most naive and, you know, not well guarded, he preyed on me. So yeah, I don't remember it at all because I basically roofied myself. I took Xanax and alcohol combined and I don't remember it. What I do remember, he has a giant painting of a demon over his bed. And what I do remember is from that point forward, I lost such a huge part of my soul. And it wasn't even what happened with him, because I had been abused in abusive situations before, you know, and this is self-abuse that I inflicted upon myself. But it was the betrayal that happened with my people I thought were my close friends. So linking back, like when I went to the psychic, she basically said that what you went through was a reenactment of something that happened in a past life in ancient Egypt, where basically, you know, the peasant woman would sacrifice someone in their community. It was seen as an honor to basically be sacrificed to these gods. And then through like basically using the woman as in sex magic, you would allow the being to enter through you. So that's where the pact began, like thousands of years ago. And this is a very dark energy that basically from that point forward and many lifetimes after had permission to enter through my body. And then afterwards, she explained what happens is like once you go down this black magic path and you make these traps of agreement, I ended up going into the occult and practicing magic, not in this life, past lifetimes. So I became very powerful in that. But then what I was experiencing in this lifetime was not only this trap of agreement with this being, but my creations coming back around because of all the black magic I practiced, like random accidents and stuff. So that's, and I can totally relate to that. Like my whole life has been like a series of chaos. And, you know, I'm sure that that's for a reason. So yeah, that's kind of, and then, you know, believing in karma and past lives like I do, I have to take full self-responsibility and not blaming or shaming myself, but really recognizing that it's my own ability to connect to my true self, to reject these contracts, to cancel them out, you know, that I take full self-responsibility, not saying, oh, I'm a victim and hopping on like the Me Too train and being like, we need to punish this guy, because he's just playing his part unconsciously too. So yeah, that's kind of where I tagged into, and I totally resonated with that. And then it's weird because I started finding more and more women who this has happened to as well. And we like even women who have engaged in these rituals in this present lifetime in this whole priestess thing, which I think is actually just kind of I don't think all of them are entering in traps of agreement in the priestesshood, but I do think that many of these women are using these powers that have been given to them through these rituals and to collect the life force of other women. You know, it's all based around worship, basically, usually worshiping Isis or, you know, one of these Egyptian gods. So I see that happening now. And they're also using sex magic. They're using seduction. All the red flags are there that it's not in service to spirit and the divine, but it's really hard to call out because this toxic energy works through these women as well. And they're very, you question their power or you question the power of the being that works through them and they just jump on you, you know, and which is what happened to us recently in questioning kind of the official romanticization of the Egyptian narrative. So, and these women actually have no idea how traps of agreement work. They think you just make a ritual and it's all fun and you feel more love and light, but they don't understand how that actually works and that there's an exchange going on. So, which is something I didn't understand either until I started exploring these topics. So, and I do think it can take a lot of suffering to come to the place that I came to. Like, I think when you get certain gifts and spiritual knowledge through these beings, it can be very intoxicating. Like, that's what they literally do, is intoxicate you off that power. And I know, but for me, it just basically, this is the end point of me going down that path, basically.
The prime example of that in our modern age, Laura, is how what may have been, well, I'm sure they had public spectacles of a ceremonial nature in ancient Egypt and elsewhere in the ancient world. But I'm guessing that a lot of the more grim, you know, dreadful stuff was cloistered and hidden only to the initiates and to the priesthood, priestesses. But now what we're seeing increasingly for decades now is that Egyptian particular spectacle is in our face now. Now there's Madonna.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Rihanna, there's Beyonce, there's all these women that seem to have been spawned from this type of occultic background, and they're acting out these Babylonian Near Eastern rituals right on TV, and you have all these young people emulating them, idolizing them. It's almost like they're trying to bring everything back on a mass scale to just bring about conjurations and manifestations of all these entities all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very dark. I think that it was you who originally shared this article in Teen Vogue, like how to use sex magic to manifest your best life. Like, that's crazy. This is like 11 and 12-year-olds who are reading this. And, you know, it has to also do... Because they don't care anymore. Like, it's like the people are so asleep in general, especially to how things work on an occult perspective, and they're just more fascinated with the novelty of magic, and it's like, and they don't realize what they're getting into. But what you spoke to all these famous pop stars is also, that's basically, I feel, from an occult level, the direction, not that I was going to be a pop star, but the direction they wanted to take me on is to get so exited from my body that I could basically be taken over, and we call it this like sex kitten programming. So then you just become this spokesperson for their agenda in the media, which is like Katy Perry, every Disney star, all the famous pop stars, you know, and who knows what kind of traps of agreement they have, but I think it's just they become these brainwashed icons for people to worship, you know. And it's interesting too because what was I gonna say? I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, I'll have to come back to that. So,
well, what we see is this glamorization of, if you will, of that whole Near Eastern Babylonian ritual magic genre, and how it appeals to kids, and how that Teen Vogue magazine article you referenced, in that article, they're openly saying that if you, the young girls, utilize sex magic, you will open portals. They're talking about opening portals. Now, this is something that people like us in our field, we know that's a given. That's there's rents and tears in the fabric of space, some places more than others. But now they're telling kids, well, you can open these portals and it can do wondrous things in your life. It's like twisted.
Yeah, because you can get into a lot of trouble just by the pure fascination and novelty. Yes. It's like playing with fire, you know, and I think even back then, it was my own naivety, you know, it was seen as an honor to be sacrificed to these gods. Like you, and so people don't really realize what they're playing with, and I think it's setting them up for even thousands of years of suffering if the planet lasts that long. But I feel like that's what's going on. And it's also what I wanted to say earlier, and it's interesting how my mind forgot this mind control programming that's also associated with it. Because if you extract the soul enough, then you can, like, through this trauma and brainwashing, you basically have this mind-controlled robot. And it's no coincidence that after I experienced this major trauma in this lifetime, which I said was a replay of the past lifetime, I got put in the same psychiatric hospital where they did the MK Ultra experiments. And that's when they loaded on the drugs. Like, they gave me the fun stuff and the really not fun stuff, but they gave me 4 prescriptions and very high doses. Like, I remember going to my friends who were already on medication. They'd be like, this is oddly high, you know? So I'm still trying to figure out like what happened there, because This has gotten very dark for me in this lifetime. And I even think that, you know, the whole UFO thing too is something that I'm starting to break through. It's like, you know, you can only like access the level of trauma that you're ready to face, you know? And I think the alien thing too, especially around my brother and myself, that's the other area where I'm like, okay, like how deep am I willing to go? Because the fact of the matter is if I made a contract with these beings, I also made a contract with like the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, basically. So that's kind of the seed that I'm like trying to crack as well, as because that's really the darkest, you know, seed to look at too, is how this affects us in this present day lifetime. And, you know, we see it ruling the mainstream media, we see it ruling government these days. And then also looking for that seed in us too, and being like, okay, like, you know, where am I coming from right now? And how can I, am I going to direct myself towards good, or where is there still the evil that's acting through me?
You talked in other podcasts and your commentaries and discussions about how one, at least one of the entities that you had made some kind of a trap of agreement with in a prior incarnation was the Draco, or a particular Draco. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but it felt very draconian. What happened, it came out in my relationship with Bernhard, basically, like something that was very jealous and really hell-bent on destroying my relationship with him would take over me. And it was something that I probably wouldn't have been able to identify is if I hadn't accessed my true self. Like my whole 5-6 years, it was like really, you know, connecting to nature, connecting to my true self, and really feeling very aligned. But then in our relationship, this being basically got very jealous and took over me and tried to destroy the relationship. And this being is like, I'm not going to say me, because it's like the identifying with it was the issue as well. We need to disidentify with these energies. It's so psychologically manipulative and smart and clever, you know, on an intellectual level. And like, if you didn't know how these occult forces work, or if you didn't even know me and my true self, you would think that like, this was just, you know, it's just a very powerful being. And it's funny because what you said about these women, AOC and whatnot, you know, in the US political arena, these women actually demonstrate that same draconian energy that was acting through me. So you hit the nail on the head there. So, I only know how it represented my life, but it literally felt like this dark, ancient cloak was being put over me at times. And there was a point when it actually terrified me. Working with positive magic, like basically canceling the contract across all dimensions and all timelines, I had to really build up my energetic field and was like, that's it. And now, and ever since then, it's released like, I would say 90% of its hold on me. But if I ever get into my deeply traumatized, wounded, victimized state, that's when it comes in and acts through again. But now that I'm aware of it and I can identify with it, because it's so easy when it takes over you to identify and be like, this is me. But through Bernhard being able to give me a mirror, he's like, whoa, like that's, you know, that wasn't you that came through. So this is kind of how we were able to work with it. But it was definitely a huge learning lesson. And that's actually what led me to the psychic. And she was like, this is what's going on with you. And then also finding what women through their own trauma, even through this course, who have experienced the same. So this is not something that just happened to me. It's something that a lot of women are dealing with now. And I think this is also, this wound going unhealed is also behind a lot of the, what I call toxic feminism out there. It's all about revenge and seeking power over others. And the same psychologically manipulative energy that's acting through me, I see it exactly happening on a mass scale as well. So it's really interesting to see it play out collectively.
Can you give a plug about your upcoming workshops, and then afterwards, if you'd like to go into the toxic feminine, the goddess diva programming that you just alluded to a moment ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, the course is full, but we're going to do another round. We just did a kind of a closed container of 20 women. So we're guiding women through the process of like basically facing your toxic feminine, also understanding this occult history of the priestess, and basically just understanding how occult rituals work. So we can understand these deeper soul contracts that are at play and how they show up in our lives now. Like often we're going to date like a narcissist, a sociopath, someone very mentally ill, unstable, because it relates to that wound in us. And then also clearing our womb and clearing our auric field of any of these connections that we have to any other beings, and closing the entry point through the trauma is like really my area of interest, because it's the trauma in this lifetime that's the entry point. And like, yes, like, you know, a lot of the times like the creation point is in like thousands of lifetimes ago, but if, in this work, I like to find the trauma in this lifetime, because that's where they get in through your core wound, basically. And then anchoring, you know, our true connection to spirit and nature, which is a true divine feminine, is really being in tune with nature, knowing her intuition. Also, we have such an ability to work with nature and have nature work with us, but it's become complete, this whole like Wiccan tradition has become completely distorted, because I feel like they're almost like elementary magicians. Like they don't understand what they're setting themselves up to in future lifetimes, basically. So that's kind of the journey that we guided women on. And we are going to do it again in January as well. So if anyone does feel called, I have it all on my website, and it does say registration closed, but you can also preview like all the modules and see what kind of work we're getting into. So yeah, we're going to do it again next year, because I was actually really surprised. I was personally hoping that no one would sign up and then I wouldn't have to go through with it. But I felt very called to do this work. And so 20 women signed up, and even more were on their waiting list. So I was like, okay, I guess we got to do this work together. It's really needed at this time.
And could you give us the general principles behind what you feel is the toxic feminine and how it's playing out, and how, you know, the roots go back to these occultic practices and ceremonies and traps of agreement in past lives, because there's absolutely key critical information. And for more of this, we could go back, also the listeners could go back to veilofreality.com, yours and Bernard's website, where they could plug into the interview, the discussion you had with Kelsey, which was absolutely groundbreaking, but please continue.
Yeah, so the toxic feminine is basically, I'm just going to list some traits I've listed, you know, as an excessive self is of self-importance. So often she assigns her these goddess, princess, queen, witch, a priestess. She assigns herself these titles so that she can place herself above others. That's really what it's about, creating a hierarchy. So that's like one of the biggest red flags. It's like, and a lot of these women, you know, like, who initiate women into these lineages, into these teachings, it's through their own naivety and ignorance that they're doing it as well. So also often really common thing is seduction. Like, how does she use her sexual energy? And often she uses this to gain attention, because she feeds, it's the beings that work through her that feed off of that lush that she's generating, you know. And women, obviously, like the whole fake self-empowered feminist these days, like wants to like walk down the street naked with slut on her and like tell people how she got an abortion and stuff. Like, it's been so distorted, you know, but she's basically using all these tools and things that happen to her via often sexual abuse against her own soul, basically, at a certain point. Also hungry for power, like very hungry for people who can serve her in some way, which is why she often puts herself in high positions of power in spiritual circles. Like, that's where you find these like wounded people who can serve you as well. So, and she just uses whatever mask is appropriate to help her get that quest for power. So, you know, this is the thing about the feminine, is she's been so historically oppressed that she's become so covert in her manipulation. So she can even pretend to be like very empathic, very spiritual, you know, like this is why the New Age spiritual mask is very appealing to her, is because she's had to become so covert and so manipulative and so passive aggressive as well to get her message across. But once you wake up and you're able to tune into someone energetically, you can start picking up on these little nuances. Also, is really loves the victim blame trap, because like she feeds off of the victims and she loves blaming other people, and she feeds off of being a victim and she can project out there. So you see this in this thing in toxic feminism. It's like, just blame the patriarchy for everything. That's really what it comes down to. And that's basically on her own unhealed wounds with the masculine, essentially, generally where it's coming from. And also, as I said before, extremely manipulative psychologically, emotionally, and even on some level, even spiritually. So, you know, engages in black magic rituals on higher levels, all these like manifestation rituals people teach. They're basically doing the same. They're being very manipulative spiritually. She has no issue. Like, she doesn't see the ethics behind engaging in these rituals, because she doesn't also understand the consequences yet. So it's all about more money, more attention, more power, more love to serve herself. And then also creates drama and feeds off of the attention. It's really, really common. So, you know, because it's not even her, by the way, it's the beings that work through her that feed off of it. So the more louche that she can generate by creating like triangulations and dramatic situations, the more these beings enjoy it. And you can even see in her eyes, like someone who's like kind of feeds off of drama. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you can see it, like that being like relishing it in their eyes. Also, you know, low sensitivity to the needs of others and little ability to experience empathy. That doesn't happen all the time, but it's definitely on the more pathological cases. You know, cannot see things because she's always, it's about service to self. So she can't see the impact on others at all. And if she does, it's just so that she can manipulate them on the impact. And the reason that I saw all these traits is because when I was very deeply wounded, all these traits came out within myself. And I also saw it in my friend circle as well. So I was in very toxic friend circles. And, you know, and it's no coincidence that the woman who I became friends with, who is very psychopathic, she became like the biggest NPC feminist out there after our friendship ended, because that's like such a perfect energetic circle for her to get involved in. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell. And it's really like, I got a lot of flack for saying anything, because it's like, never question women. Women are amazing, you know, like it's time to, you know, to stand up for women. And I totally believe that's true. But we have to, like, what are women going to do as men are working on themselves and addressing all their issues? Just like sit back and be like, oh, we're fine, you know? No, like women actually need to work because on ourselves, because it's this dance that's been happening for, you know, however long between the masculine, toxic masculine, and toxic feminine. And I guarantee you, like, if you are noticing toxic masculinity out there, that's your own toxic femininity that's actually noticing it.
And irony, Laura, is not in all cases, but in some cases, a lot of these women that are manifesting these toxic feminine traits, it's sometimes a male reptilian or Draco entity working through them. That's another irony behind it. Small sample size to be sure, but back in the 90s in the UFO field in Southern California, there just seemed to be a number of women that were heavily into Wicca. And without exception, every single one of them that I knew, that I got to know very well, and they shared their stories and experiences with me, virtually every single one of them had a hardcore Draco reptilian experiences. Some of them of a quite ritual variety. It wasn't just high tech and spaceships. It was like the Draco putting them nude into robes and making them lay down on stone slabs and doing things to them. So, and one of the women that I knew was not a Wicca. However, in a past life, she was offered up as a ritual sacrifice to a Draco. And lo and behold, fast forward to this incarnation, this male Draco had taken her up, at least at that time, as a host at times, right? So it just shows the irony at work. These women think that they're being feminist. They think that they're holding the banner up for women everywhere, but these Draco male entities are working through them. One of the things you and Bernard talk about, and if you can give a definition of this, you talk a lot about somatic healing. What does somatic mean, and what does somatic healing mean?
Soma is like of the body. So it's finding the healing within your own body. And a lot of, you know, new age and spiritual techniques is all about, like, you know, connecting through the top down, what it's called. So changing your beliefs, changing your thoughts. But the approach that I found works better for me is bottom up. So like every day I do scanning literally every cell of my body, as well as calming my nervous system. And that's also an aspect of somatic healing, learning how to regulate your nervous system and just learning how to tune into the wisdom of the body. That's really what it comes down to. And in doing that, the first thing that's often going to be unearthed is like our traumas. Like our traumas to me, like, in my perspective, every single trauma we experience in this lifetime and other lifetimes is stored in this current body, if we had the consciousness to awaken that. Like, my meditation teacher talks about how, you know, if you could just focus on your single toe, you would be able, and the cells in your single toe, with complete awareness, you would remember every single lifetime that ever happened to you. Like, that's how much memory is stored in our DNA. So, you know, I kind of work with this tool called Compassion and Inquiry, which is Gabor Mate's modality, and I'm learning right now. So it's about doing the self-inquiry to the tension in the body, finding out the memory in this lifetime and how to heal that. And then also, you know, I'm very inspired by Peter Levine's work, which is somatic experiencing. So finding the action that needs to complete itself in the body. Like, I took a completely different approach at the beginning of my spiritual journey. I was like, I just need to sit and meditate. And as long as I meditate, everything will go away. What was happening, though, it was basically, as this other teacher I like named Kimberly Johnson says, meditation became this spiritually acceptable freeze state. So when you get activated or traumatized, you either go into fight, flight, or freeze. And I tended to go into freeze. And so meditation was just a way of freezing my problems again. So I actually needed to learn, okay, like what I needed to act and learn how to complete that action. Because to me, the trauma needs to a way to resolve itself, to finish it. And so obviously these psychotherapeutic modalities, they only go as far as this lifetime, but that's actually good. But my work has been like, okay, like how do we go even deeper? And that's kind of where I've gone out of my own path, because there's no like somatic modality that I know of that deals with these kind of past life things, except for holographic kinetics. I think that's the closest one, which Bernhard practices, which is the Aboriginal healing modality for canceling these contracts. And it's interesting because it's very similar to how compassion and inquiry works, even though they come from two totally different spectrums.
Very good contrast you point out about how the New Age teachings, in a way, it almost seems designed to shunt people into their headspace, get them thinking about raising their vibrations, get them disembodied, essentially, when the real work always involves inside out, releasing the block trauma within us and the traumatic memories that go with it in a safe manner. So once again, we have this inversion of healing. Get us in our headspace, and when we're in our headspace, that's the happy hunting ground for all these different entities to insert thoughts, behaviors, and everything else. You also talk about a concept called Wom wisdom. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, that's been hijacked, by the way, because it's all these, you know, once again, these priestesses and there's some dark magicians who have worked through that. I didn't actually study it myself, but the person who I'm doing the course with, Kelsey, did. So, you know, our womb is like the portal to the infinite. That's the way that I see it. But to be honest, most women are so traumatized and have so much stuff there that they don't actually have access to their true power and their true intuition. And that's also where these beings like to feed into. So, you know, the womb wisdom teachings, that's a whole other topic, but that's also been hijacked. The guy who ran those teachings has been exposed as being a predator because he knows that power. Like, there's no mistake that all these ancient traditions from Tibetan Buddhism to Taoism to Zen, they all focus on this lower belly breathing, which is immediately calms the nervous system once you get down there. And then once you start exploring there, like that's in my tradition, which is Vajrayana Buddhism, that's like the emptiness where all arises. And like that's where the pure witness can be experienced when you're in that emptiness. So those teachings have also been hijacked once again. And then all these women, these womb priestesses have arisen and they all dress in red. So, you know, that's kind of something that kind of more under the radar we're kind of approaching in this course, but dispelling the truth from lies, because in this whole like womb wisdom tradition, that's what they call it these days, the same thing happened where like it's being siphoned and hijacked by these beings who are using the power of all these women now who are activating their wombs to be in service to the same agenda. But there is a deeper spiritual truth in these teachings that, you know, especially for women and for men, is like we have this tremendous ability of power. Like there's no mistake that our instinct also comes from there, you know? So we have this tremendous psychic ability that can be accessed through our wombs, but we have to clear out these contracts, clear out these energies, because as long as we have this toxicity operating within it, we won't actually even have access to our true intuition either. So it's a very powerful space, but from what I've seen from working with women, the majority of women have so many energies tagged into there. because we don't practice sex consciously these days. A lot of women have periods of sexual abuse. And then also there's beings who, like, they specifically tag into our womb, our solar plexus. Like, these are the places where they can really affect us and throw us completely off.
What we're seeing now is a complete inversion of the feminine, a complete abomination in many ways. Like in Australia now, on TV, we're having commercials where they're encouraging women to, how do I put this without sounding vulgar, to be proud of their monthly menstrual periods. And so in these commercials, they're showing women walking around with a garment, but in their private parts, it's all covered with blood. And, mm-hmm. and like the caption is reading, don't be ashamed about this, wear it publicly, wear it, be proud of your monthly period, and there's no shame attached to it. But that also that delves into areas of hygiene, personal hygiene, which are an integral part of maintaining one's spiritual sanctity, if you will, right?
Yeah. Is this like Kotex or something, like the Kotex commercial?
It's not even a commercial for a woman's product. It's kind of like this cultural Marxist kind of toxic feminine advertising, encouraging women almost to walk around naked and just bleed all over the place, right?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I do agree that we should take away shame from menstrual cycle, because that's like, why should be ashamed of it?
Yeah, there should not be any shame attached to it. Yeah, there should not be.
It's like, but yeah, like with those, but the thing is, we also have to understand is that our period blood is sacred. And
yes, it is.
Like, extremely powerful. And if we're just, you know, like if we don't honor it in that way and we're just walking down the street naked with his lower body just to prove a point, it's like you're not actually getting the point if you need to do that to prove the point as well. You don't really actually understand it. And that's also the same with the toxic feminism that I see out there. It's like I don't think that they're actually really getting the point of true empowerment of women. A lot of the time, I think what I see from a lot of women, not saying all of them, is using their own wounds to perpetuate more of the same. Because in order to get to that true place of empowerment, you really have to dive deep within you. Like, you really have to do inner work. It's not about anything external, not about anything parade down the street. You know, you can do whatever demonstration you want, but just acknowledging, you know, like your own power, which means also looking at all the ways you've disempowered yourself. And looking at those things. And what I see in a lot of these displays too is like, because first in my experience, because I was, by the way, my mom calls herself a feminist. I was given feminist literature when I was like very young. So I went down that pathway and I was blaming white men and the patriarchy for all my issues when I was deeply traumatized. So this is why I see it happening. This is what I see happening. The same trend happening en masse with women now is like they're just wanting, it's like it's the revenge energy, and like it's not authentic, I feel, because I don't feel like they looked at their own wounding yet. It's just the energy behind something, the intention behind something says it all. But that's also, once again, something that can only be accessed once we start awakening to our own intuition and not acting from a place of wounding. And I know that's hard work, because for a really long time, what I thought was my own intuition and what I thought was so right was actually coming from that place of wounding. And I had been in that place of wounding for so long, I actually didn't even know what it was to not be, you know? So, and not only that, it's like, you know, that's why I asked if it's by Kotex, because like, the media has jumped on the woman's empowerment train, because this is what, like, because women have been like, I feel, just oppressed for so long, they're dangling them a carrot to be like, oh, you know, we're empowering women in our company. It's like the same thing they do with what they call greenwashing, where they make them seem environmentally friendly so that you buy their product. The same thing with women's empowerment. And so women are being dangled this carrot, and then they're just perpetuating this toxic narrative and feeding them what that looks like. So I feel that, like, you know, even though we live in this time of, like, they call it women's empowerment, yes, women definitely have way more rights than before. Women have progressed in this social cultural way, but only on a matrix. Like, we're still buying into these matrix programs. It's like the socially, it's like this matrix prescribed form of feminism, which is also what you said, you know, like this whole, like, Wiccan culture and the distortions around that. It's like I feel like we've only cracked the surface of what human beings are capable of on a spiritual level. And now we're just replaying like a lot of the things that happened thousands of years ago, but even more ignorantly, because, you know, you think we would have learned by now.
I think that at least some, certainly not all, but perhaps some of the rituals in Wicca, to cite but one example, there may be default sit in. We talk about traps of agreements and whatnot. They may be thinking in some cases they're doing earth magic, that they're working with elementals, but I think it goes deeper in some cases where they just pull stuff in. And the example I cited earlier of these women I knew that were Wiccans that were in the UFO field back in the day, they were all having Draco, hardcore reptilian Draco experiences, not just greys and other beings like that, but Dracos. So, and they were all self-identified as Wiccans. And another point I want to make about just how far the toxic feminine has descended. Now there's women holding up signs, "I aborted my male baby and I'm proud of it."
Yeah.
In the past, women were always the nurturers. After all these endless, ceaseless wars, who were the ones that kind of revived and rebuilt society and civilization? It was the women, because they had to work with the people that were left. They had to bring more children in the world to keep the planet populated. But now they're holding up signs saying, "I'm proud that I aborted my male baby." Yeah. So, and again, it's that dark, ironically, male, oftentimes reptilian Draco type energy working through them. It's just a crazy combination. Well, we've reached the end of the fascinating first segment with our guest, Laura Matsu. Laura, could you tell us your websites and your YouTube channels and let our listeners know how they can find your invaluable work?
Yeah, so my website's lauramatsu.com. I'm also fairly active on social media, so you can find me on both Instagram, Laura Matsu, MATSUE, and Facebook as well, even though it's best if you really want to become my friend to send me a message, because I tend to not accept a lot of friends these days. But yeah, that's where you can find me and connect further. Thank you.
We've reached the end of a first segment with Laura Matsu. If you like what we do, if you believe what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to our website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.